लाभ गिरिभर धारे। जशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन छारे जमुना तीरा बन छारे जया रथा मदावा कुंज विहारे जया रथा मदावा कुंज विहारे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकचर्याष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकचर्याष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गौस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फौंडराचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की। ग्रंथरा श्रीमन भागवतं की निताय गौरा प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 16, Executing the Payobrata Process of Worship. Now, last class, we got up to text number 4. Yeah, so today is for what? I prepared just 5, but 6 through 7. So we're going to read 5. Through 7. There's a purport in 5, very nice purport with enough to make one class, so I think we have to do a little reform on the organization of the verses, because there's enough for one class in this text number 5. And text number 6 has also a small purport. And text number 7 also has a small purpose, so it's a little mix of things. So let's see how we do this. I'm going to do text number 5, read the purpose, then we chant together number 6, read the purpose, and then I chant myself number 7, and I read the purpose, and then we listen to the class. Thank you.
Api ba kushalan kinchit griheshu grihame dine dharma syartasya kamasya jatra yogo hya yoginam.
Translation: O my wife, who are very much attached to household life. If the principle of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Kashyapa Muni speaking. Purport, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, Aditi has been addressed by her husband, Kashyapa Muni, as Griha Medini, which means one who is satisfied in household life for sense gratification. Generally, those who are in household life pursue sense gratification in the field of activities performed for material results. Such grihamedis have only one aim in life, sense gratification. Therefore, it is said, Janmaitin maitunadi grihamedi shukan hituchan. The household life is based on sense gratification, and therefore the happiness derived from it is very meager. Nonetheless, the Vedic process is so comprehensive that even in household life, one can adjust his activities according to the regulated principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. One's aim should be to achieve liberation, but because one cannot at once give up sense gratification, in the Shastras, there are injunctions prescribed how to follow the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.9, Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartortayo pakalpate. Quote, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. End of quote. Those who are in household life should not think that religion is meant to improve the process of the householder's sense gratification. Household life is meant for advancement in spiritual understanding, by which one can ultimately gain liberation from the material clutches. One should remain in household life with the aim of understanding the ultimate goal of life, tattva jigyasa. Then, household life is as good as the life of a yogi. Kashyapa Muni therefore inquired from his wife whether the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification were being properly followed in terms of the Shastric injunctions. As soon as one deviates from the injunctions of the Shastras, the purpose of household life is immediately lost in confusion. Text number 6. Apibiti tayo bietya. Apibati tayo bietya. Kutumba shaktaya taya. Kutumba saktaya tatuaya. Grihat apujita jata. Pratyutate na bat kwachit. Apibati tayo bhyeta. Kutumba saktaya tvaya. Grihat apujita tata.
pratyuttatena kva kachit apivati tayo bhetya kutumba shaktaya tvaya grihat apujita jata pratyuttanena va kvachit.
Christian.
Api, whether, va, either, atitaya, guests who come without an invitation, abhyetya, coming to the home, kutumba asaktaya, who were too attached to the family members. Tvaya, by you. Grihat, from the house. Apujitaha, without being properly welcome. Jata, went away. Pratyuttanena, by standing up. Va, either, kvachit, sometime. Translation. I wonder whether because of being too attached to the members of your family, you fail to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcome and went away. Purport. It is the duty of a householder to receive guests, even if a guest be an enemy. When a guest comes to one's home, one should properly receive him by standing up and offering him a seat, as it is enjoined, grihe shatrum api praptam vishwastam akuto bhajam. Even if an enemy comes to one's home, one should receive him in such a way that the guest will forget that his host is an enemy. According to one's position, one should properly receive anyone who comes to one's home. At least a seat and a glass of water should be offered, so that the guest will not be displeased. Kasyapa Muni inquired from Aditi whether disrespect has been shown to such guests or atithis. The word atiti refer to one who comes without an invitation. Text number 7. Griheshu yeshwati thayo narchita salilar api jadi niryantite nunam perura griha grihopama. Translation: homes from which the guests, from which guests go away without having been received even with an offering of a little water, are like those holes in the field which are the homes of jackals. Purport. In the field there may be holes made by snakes and mice. But when there are very big holes, it may be supposed that a jackal live there. Certainly no one goes to take shelter in such homes. Thus, the homes human beings where atithis, uninvited guests, are not properly received, are like the homes of jackals. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Romapaswamiti Namne. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Bancha Kalpa Taruya Sha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Prabhupada calls the famous verse in first canto, second chapter, divine. What is it? The name of the chapter? Chapter two. Divine service, but there's divinity and divine service. Okay. And the verse is Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Prabhupada goes to that stand, famous breakdown of the word apavargasya, which means that pavarga means the material struggle for existence, and it's all breakdown. Pa, va, nga, five different things. Pa, va, ma, and then ga, right? So I can remember all of them, but basically all together, it's just a struggle for existence. The material condition that one has to work very hard, and then by working very hard, it's such a hard labor that your mouth becomes like foaming out of stress and hard work, and then bhaya, one is fearful, because the fact is everything that one's worked so hard for is so susceptible to anything. There are so many elements out there that may take away things from us. There are thieves, there's the government, there is the nature, there's our own self, not being very cleverly using your resources and getting, all of a sudden, because of a bad habit, you plunder your own, resources. So, one is always in anxiety. And And then ultimately, mrityu, there is death, and this, the body becomes, you know, start to, cannot perform the same. As the years pass, you start to get this age, you don't have the same flexibility, you don't have the same stamina, and so the body starts to break down, and you're depending on your body for keeping up with the struggle, because it's almost like you have to be on your A game to be able to fence the whole changes of the material world. You have to be really on the top of your game, because if you get, you know, weak, then everything just rolls over you. So that's the greatest anxiety of people. So they try to make all kinds of arrangements to have some cushion as things start to dwindle. So people get into savings, a 401k and the whole thing, you know. But they're always anxious because the big banks and corporations, they take that money and they gamble with it. And all of a sudden, the whole banks, they have no money. So your money can be, you know, poof, goes in a poof. So it happens so many times. It happens in the recent history, in the last, you know, 2 decades, we have heard several occasions of this situation happening. You know, so therefore, Wall Street is right now renowned as a, you know, as a place of a whole bunch of huge crooks that are just playing with other people's money. And so this is Pavarga, the material world. So dharmasya hiya pavargasya means that dharma, the occupational duties in whatever situation one is, one has a particular type of duties that one has to perform. And those duties, they're very interconnected. The word that is used is dharma. And dharma is the same word that is used for religion. And it's the same word that is used, is even go further to being used as the essence of the self. So occupation is connected, it's the same word as religion. So these actual occupations, these actual things, duties that we have to do, they're being prescribed by the Lord himself. Their religion is religiosity. And this is part of the big scheme that Krishna arranges. Krishna basically designs a very safe playground for childlike living entities that decide, we want to be play being Krishna. Like, you know, when you have little babies and children playing being the adult. So you have the little girl putting the big, you know, the mother's shoes and then trying to paint her face and, you know, put some jewelry and then, you know, they look in, and it's cute, you know, the parents, you know, then they make some sort of arrangement, you know. Or they buy a little kitchen, plastic kitchen, and they buy, you know, a little baby and a little straw, and then, you know, the little girl plays like that. Or the little boy gets, you know, a fire truck or something like that, you know. So the parents arrange for a safe space so the child can, you know, play like to be an adult. So Krishna arranges a very safe space for us to play this game of being him, being Krishna. Of course, different than a children that is, you know, always depending on the father, you know, we are getting into this illusion and then we get into, you know, a little bit of a trouble while in the material world. But the fact is that the material world is built in with a complete safe network of guidelines how to be able to navigate, to be able to fulfill our desire of independence from Krishna, and at the same time reform, you know, and learn like that that's an impossibility. So Krishna gave this dharma, this process of religions, that is, what is it? Dharmas tu Bhagavan pranitam. That the principles of religions are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the whole map is there. All occupations are there that when they perform according to the principles of dharma, in fact, again, the point that I'm making is that occupation and duties, they are just another way of saying the same thing when you say religion. It's the same word, dharma. It's the same word. It's like what you say, synonyms. They're the same thing. The mistake that we have when we are in a lost society is that we separate, we don't see the same thing. Then we make this concoction of secular, you know, state, secular world. There's a separation between religion and duties. You don't mix those two things. And that's how this world is complete, it's a complete mess. In the design of the universe, these things are one and to be followed according to the guidelines given in the scriptures. And when it's done like that, then the process becomes then apavargasya. So all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation when it's done according to the principles of the Shastras, when you follow those things. So Kasyapa Muni, when he comes to the ashram where Aditi is and see that there's distress, she is distressed. So he can understand, just by the taste of, you know, he can understand, okay, distress means something is not being done right. You can understand when, okay, there's a mistake, there's something that is not done properly. Like if you have a machine, you know, If the machine starts to smoke, you know that you're doing something wrong. Like, you know, I used to work in this selling, you know, equipment, like, you know, big audio equipment. And sometimes persons will come, you know, my equipment smoking, you know, I plug in and the whole thing went into smoke and then poof, gone. There's something wrong with the equipment. And in general, I say most likely there's something wrong with you and the way you're using it. So let me see. And then you find out that this person put a switch of, you know, instead of 110 to the 220, you know, a volt that is used in Europe or in India like that. So it meaning that you put something that is meant for this voltage to put in something in that type of thing, and the whole thing just, you know, gets blown. So in other words, you're not following the proper instructions for using this machine. and therefore you blow it. So in general, if something is not working properly, it's because you're doing something wrong. If something is designed to function very smoothly, you know, if it's not running smoothly, in general, the user is the cause of the problem, in general. So Kasia Pamuni can understand, you're doing something wrong. So let me, maybe, did you insult a guest? Because that's one of the duties of a householder. You know, so there's so many duties, but that one immediately came because that's something that very easily can happen. You know, that one is so absorbed in, when one gets too attached, because that's immediately what say, oh, my wife, who is too attached, who is too attached to, you know, the household and your family members. You know, something is wrong here. So because of you were too attached, you were too oblivious to this, you know, this particular thing. You insulted, I guess. So, which is a very important point, and Prabhupada highlights that in the purport. He says that what is the difference between a grihamedi and a grihasta? In fact, Kasyapa Muni told his wife Aditi, he called her a grihamedi, which is, you know, I mean, you see how wonderful, you know, these highly elevated personalities that are imperfectly situated in the mood of goodness. They, even when they say something that may appear to be a bit insulting, you know. I mean, if you go and tell, you know, a devotee, you know, you definitely agree, Hamedi Prabhu. You know, it would be like, whoa, you know. So, I'm just a fallen soul, Prabhu, with no one like that. But it says in such a way that, you know, it's sort of kind, and you know, it doesn't feel like an insult, which was, you know, he's addressing his wife because he cares, you know, Kasyapa Muni. So, but he didn't mean any words. He was right to the point. Oh, my dear wife, Grihamedi, you're very attached to family, so something must be wrong here, because, you know, some breach of the proper duties is being compromised. So Prabhupada makes a point, like, what's the difference between the grihamedi and the grihasta? And it's a very simple difference. And this is something that these very two famous verses from the first canto, chapter 2, they come together. Tarmasya hi apavargasya nartor ta yo pakalpate. That for a grihamedi, the grihamedi's goal of life is sense gratification. That's the ultimate goal of life. So everything that you do, the end result should be sense gratification. So dharma, artha, kama. Dharma and artha are simply for the purpose of kama. So, for the grihamedi, the ultimate goal of life is not moksha, is kama. So dharma becomes a vehicle an assistant to obtain sense gratification. And the same way that it does for economic development. So therefore, the karma kandis, when they simply absorb in achieving sense gratification, they worship, they do their worship, they follow and do all these things for the purpose of obtaining sense gratification. And that's not part of the system, that's not part of the guidelines, because the goal of the proper goal of occupational duties is self-realization. And then, you know, ultimately, self-realization means satisfying Lord Vishnu, and that's, you know, also appears in this chapter, the Atapumbir Dvija Shrestas Banashrama Vibhagasa, that the goal, the ultimate goal of the Banashram Dharma is and religion is in itself is Samsidir Hari Toshanam. Hari Toshanam, to give pleasure to Lord Vishnu. So that is the Grihastha. The Grihamedi is to give pleasure to the senses. The Grihastha is to give pleasure to Lord Vishnu. So therefore, the instruction is as follows, and these are these two verses. They're possibly the most, I would say, for understanding Grihastha Ashram, this is basically the sutra. That within these two verses, there's a whole understanding of what a Grihastha Ashram should be. What, when one have to deal with the material world, this is, these verses, you know, these two verses basically contains the essence of how we should live our life in the material world according to Krishna's system. And this, you know, so dharmasya hi apavargasya, that's text number, it's 1, 2, thing 9. 1, 2, 9. So 1, 2, 9 and 1, 2, 10 together, they come together. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartorta yopakalpate nartasya dharma kaintasya kamo labhaja hi smritaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. And here we go. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So basically, that make sure you don't make the mistake to have sense gratification as the goal of your dharma. So this is the first verse. So first thing, that we don't perform our dharma just to simply gain material stuff, to advance materially, to get material gain. It's not the reason, it's not the purpose of it. And when material gain comes, material gain should not be used for sense gratification. So then what is the positive? So that's the negative. Kamasya, this is number 10, 1, 2, 10. Kamasya nindriya pritir labo jiveta javata jivasya tatta jigasya nartoyas chehakarmabi. Life desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. What should be directed to? One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goals of one's work. So basically, our whole dharma, our whole occupation, everything we do should be arranged to allow the time that our energy, our human energy, is directed toward understanding the absolute truth. And the rest, according in terms of material situation, one should simply desire a healthy life. So basically what Prabhupada explains, the principles of simple life, high thinking. Have a simple life, because a simple life, the simplest it is, that you have all the needs of your that you require are covered, the simplest it is, the more space you have for tattva jigyasa, for understanding the absolute truth. The more complicated the arrangement is, the less time you have. So a simple arrangement is very much desirable. And it has to be a simple arrangement that covers the psychophysical needs of the members of the family. And so they have to be a certain taste for simplicity. Therefore, this is one of the traits of the moral goodness. You know, a taste for simplicity, cleanliness, and that type of thing. So when those things are in place, then naturally, then our occupational duties, whatever we do in the world, will be as good as any transcendentalist, Prabhupada says, and Kashyapa Muni says. If someone performs this process right, the process of dharma, the process of occupation and duties, if this is performed according to religious principles, is as good as any transcendentalist. So meaning that one naturally will elevate one's consciousness to Krishna consciousness. So that's what I can say about these verses. Any comment or questions? Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Since it's speaking about household life, one thing I appreciate about one book, Satsuru Goswami, Das Goswami wrote about Prabhupada, the title of it is He Built a House in Which the Whole World Could Live In. So one thing I got from that is that essentially we're all householders, more like mansion holders. This building is like a mansion and we're all living together. So one thing I kind of keep in mind, this verse kind of reminded me of one aspect I like to keep in mind, is a contrast between the traditional type of household life and the greater householder life, when we're dealing with all each other in a temple. Is that one thing I find funny is that obviously householders, they're gonna argue, that's natural.
You see householder,
how there's gonna like everyone's gonna have some disagreements and arguments, obviously. But the one thing about traditional household life is that I'm sure we'll never hear a case where someone, if they get divorced, you never hear a divorce case and you ask them, why did you get divorced? Presumably you'll never hear, because the reason I divorced my wife is because we had some disagreement about Guru Tattva and Jiva Tattva. We're like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. She won't listen to me, so I divorced her. But when we're dealing with the greater household of life, sometimes we hear disagreements like that. When I hear stuff like that, I'm like, are you serious? And not only that, one thing I appreciate about a traditional household life is that a parent who loves their child, they want to glorify their child if their child does anything good. And if their child has some faults, they try to hide it as much as possible so it won't bring dishonor to the family. And what we can see in our greater household of life, sometimes that may be lacking because maybe we kind of have a tendency, like this verse says, we forget the greater principle, the greater household of life, which Krishna says in 241 in the Gita, Vyavisayamika buddhir, eke hakuru nandanam bahushakahi anantascha buddhaya vivasayana. Those who are intelligent see the greater household of life, that God is the root and everyone is branch. Not that, you know, this is my family branch and that's the other branch. So one thing from this verse, it appears like that is describing that that's what causes aparas and offenses, that we don't see the greater family household life. We just see, you know, the bodily conception of life. So my question essentially is that just as any householder would tolerate, you know, anything that comes from their wife, their child, and Krishna says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Titiksha Swabharta, Matra Sparshas Tukantaya Shitoshna Sukha Dukada Agamapinu Nityas Tam Titiksha Swabharta, tolerate, that he says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So how much is it essential for us to tolerate even a greater household or family life? Basically, religion is individual, so you can't really, you know, control people's mental functions. But I think these are essential points to mention because in the end, Krishna can only give you that happiness, you know, based on your consciousness. So how essential is it to tolerate, you know, to remind ourselves of this, you know, compare and contrast of traditional household life? How could we tolerate so much stuff from our family, but we can't tolerate, you know, even a little thing from our greater family, spiritual family? So can you at least expand on these points a little bit?
Sure.
Well, we're living in the house of our, in our case, the house of our grandfather, Srila Prabhupada. And so we're sort of members of the family. And you make that comparison. So the same principles, we often discuss that in the Brahmacharya Ashram, that the same principles that you're learning, that you've been trained right now in the ashrams, are the same principles that apply in Grihastha life too. It's both an ashram, so it's the same principles. The only difference is that in Grihastha ashram, you have certain independence, and you have to deal directly with the material energy. In the Brahmacharya ashram, in the temple, you are being trained, you're depending. You don't have to deal directly with the material energy. You know, the guru is making the arrangements for you. So you know, you don't have to make sure you have a roof or clothing, or, you know, everything is provided, food. But the same principles are there. So life in the ashram, in the temple, is part of the vision and the motto that we have. Is basically right now what we're offering is preparing people for, well, at least most people, because most of the devotees that come through, they become grihasthas. There will be some rare ones, and they're still there, and they still will come, but when you have a comparison, only few will be able to continue life of renunciation throughout their life. But to most, you're preparing everybody to be able to enter into Grihastha ashram.
So right now you're getting trained in the principles. Actually, the same principles that I will apply that you're learning right now is the same principles that you will apply in Grihastha Ashram, the same principles that you apply in Vanaprastha Ashram. So basically, we're getting prepared right now in the house of our grandfather, Srila Prabhupada, to learn how to properly function in an ashram, bas, ashram. And the more we get settled and strong, and we develop the qualities or the character that is given to us in an ashram, we'll be able to be successful in the other ashrams. So, what are those qualities? Trinarapi sunichina tarorapi shahishuna. If you want to put it, you know, in a sutra. I mean, there are many characters there, many qualities that are there that we should cultivate. But these four are like foremost. So humility, tolerance, respect, and curbing your false ego. So it's what we're learning, what we're training. We put basically in an oven here, you know, to make your character, prepare you to live in a Krishna conscious way. And we're going through, you know, the growing pains of that, getting baked. And eventually, the process of getting baked is not comfortable, but once the end product is there, you have this beautiful sort of porcelain or something, right? So, in Grihastha Ashram, the same thing. You know, you have to apply those same principles. So then, the question is: when you see conflict, just like Kasyapa Muni saw, she's unhappy. Something is wrong. So when you see unhappiness, when you see conflict, when you see between two devotees, in Grihastha Ashram, husband and wife, parents and children, siblings. When this thing is happening, something is not being done properly. Is that bad? Well, I mean, in one sense, you know, we're in Kali Yuga. We don't have the support of a whole social structure. We come in with all heavy condition of, you know, Kali Yuga type of condition. So there are some growing pains too. Devotees who are serious and who are sincere will work through. So, you know, you work through being in the ashram among devotees, being in the household among family members, you work through. If you give up and then, oh, we divorce, we separate. Oh, I can, you know, I can deal with these people. Or I can deal with this, you know, spouse. Then you have to take that you haven't passed that problem. Prabhupada say, wherever you go, your forehead goes with you. So you're still going to go on with your problem, and you have to deal with it at one point. And if you don't do it, well, in next life you have to keep going until you're able to take care of it. So we work out the things, understanding that we're just doing something wrong. What is it? Oh, most likely, I have to check, you know, each person. This is individually. We have to check humility, tolerance, you know, respect the other person. You know, in general, it happens that, you know, we're reaching a combination of all this, you know. So, my Guru Maharaj likes this phrase, love, trust, give and take. Something that is, you know. So one have to this whole it have to be in a package, because we care for each other. In general, you know, devotees, when you come to certain time in the family of devotees, especially when we're sincere and we grateful to be taken, you know, in the house of our grandfather and being given shelter, we appreciate and we care for the devotees. You know, the natural soft heart towards the devotees is there. But if love doesn't create trust, if trust is not there, then, you know, if it's a little suspiciousness, like, well, you know, maybe this person doesn't have my best interest, or maybe this person is just too self-absorbed, you know, then how you build trust? Well, by the give and take process and by respect. Respect should be there. So, you know, I mean, there's like whole combinations of things. So the thing is, yeah, see conflict? Well, we have to understand. Everybody should understand. You know, I mean, the sadhu, Kashyapa Muni, will say there's something that is not being applied right here. So let's find out. So we have to be introspective. And that's an individual thing. It's not that I'm going to be introspective for you. So I say, you're not being humble. You know, try to, you know, what about, you know, that type of thing. In general, I tell you that, you know, Prabhu, you're completely intolerant, not humble, and disrespectful. And your false ego is to the roof. Then you say, what? You know, you don't take it so happily, you know.
That's what I was thinking when he called her a three-eyed maiden. Maybe she didn't listen because he, like, basically insults her.
But because he's in another level, first, she trusts him, you know. If my Guru Maharaj called me a rascal, you know, I don't feel insulted. I feel I'm a rascal, you know. So because I trust him, there's love and the trust. So I know in any circumstance he has my best interest. When we lacking that trust with other devotees, means, you know, sometimes we doubt them. And then, you know, that's when we feel, you know, we have to sort of put things in place. So therefore, we have to be introspective. You know, we have to be introspective and try to pray to the Lord and, you know, okay, go at it. Keep going at it. Don't quit. You know, it's life. It's the purpose of life, self-realization. You have to eliminate all that stuff. Anarthas means, you know, unwanted things, inauspicious things. So we're in the process of eliminating, and that's it. So it will apply. It applies in all ashrams. So it's important to be trained as far as possible. The more you actually get the advantage of getting this training, of, you know, going through it, the better prepared you are for your future in the material world. The only possibility that we have to be successful in the material world, to have some sort of a, you know, balanced, happy, prosperous life. And the conception of prosperity is not the idea that we have of prosperity, wealth, comfort, and those things. The conception of prosperity is that you have a healthy, happy life. Self-preservation. So, like that. Everything, this, whatever you need will be there. Any other thing? Jai Nitai Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. First, I'd like to say that Kashyapa Muni is pretty awesome in the way he's handles situations. I mean, you can see how detached he is. The question I have is that in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, Prabhupada describes different qualities. And he mentions in the purport, or Krishna describes, and Prabhupada says in the purport that one's household becomes Krishna conscious simply by chanting, making food for the Lord, honoring prasad, and reading transcendental literature. And then he says after that, that if a family is not doing those things, then that family is suitable to be abandoned. So if someone just took that single instruction, they could say, well, you know, my family's not following, I'm not going to work to satisfy their senses, so psh, done. On the other hand, we see in Kashyapa Muni's case, even in, I think it's the fifth canto, that he even goes against his own standard to please his family members. To maintain, he takes responsibility for their sense enjoyment as a matter of his family duty. So this, I see two different scenarios here. And I'm wondering, it makes me wonder about that. And even in terms of like our culture, like Vaishnava culture, how often that the word grihastha is almost used synonymously with grihamedi. Like, it seems like the way people describe grihastha ashram can be described as grihamedi ashram. There's this assumption that, oh well, that's a part of the cake there or something. And it's just very, I mean, one thinks about these things, I'm sure.
It's just an immature understanding. It's a mistake. The duties of a grihastha is to be able to balance material and spiritual. You can, you know, if you're a grihastha, it's because you require these things. You know, you're not ready for renunciation. You have desires. So, and that's the majority of the spirit souls that are here in this. That's why the system is like that. It's designed, you know, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. It's for most people. There's no many, you know, Sukadev Goswamis that take birth as a, you know, self-realized person. So, the system is like that because most of conditioned souls in this material world have to go through that. So there is not a separation of matter and spirit. They're simultaneously together. And the only difference is what the goal of life is. The rest you deal with everything that is there. Desires, you know, sense gratification, that's why, you know, it's there. Artha and kama. It's not seen as a something like, no, sin, no, my God, you know, damnation, that whole thing. No. It's seen as something that is part of the system because Krishna is very kind. You don't go into, you know, take up a big hammer and hit, you know, the conditioned soul in the head because they have a desire. The fact that they're in the material world is because they have a desire. So you have to deal with that. You have to make an arrangement so that desire is fulfilled, is giving a space, but at the same time, in a way that elevates yourself. So Krishna created that. So there's a balance between matter and spirit. There's no separation. When you're separating, then there's no advancement. For someone who has desires, and that's the point that Krishna makes to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6. So, as long as you have desires, renunciation is a mistake for you. The path of renunciation would lead you to all kinds of negative things because you're not ready. For renunciation, you have to be completely devoid of all kinds of desires and hankerings. You have to be free from that to be able to renounce, meaning spiritual life. You know, like that's it, no material thing. Pure spiritual life. So therefore, as long as you have desire, then this combo is necessary, which is the path of dharma, you know, like, you know, this whole thing, work with the material energy. So Krishna has these two together. Therefore, the word karma yoga. So karma and yoga, two, you know. So they're not separated. They're harmonized together. And so when we see, if we make a separation, so say we have the person who separates material from spirit, then it's just, you know, sense gratification stuff, griha medhi. So the griha medhi is when there is no spiritual guidance and the goal of life is material sense gratification. Just plain sense gratification. That's griha medhi. Grihastha, you have this right here and you have the instructions of the shastras, transcendental knowledge, vidya. So these two together, just leave that. These two together then becomes grihastha. Grihastha have an understanding of how to properly follow. So is as Kashyapa Muni said, as good as any transcendentalist. What Krishna says ultimately in the Bhagavad Gita, that basically you do this path as devotional service to the Lord for someone who actually is able to raise himself to the position of mammana mamamat bhakto, everything that you do as an offering to Krishna, always thinking on him, he is the greatest of all yogis. So that's a proper understanding. Is that an answer? I think I'll get lost a little bit in trying to make the point in your question.
No, I think, thank you very much. I like your answer. I also like that earlier you mentioned that the principle of simple living and high thinking. I think you actually added that. I'm not sure that was in the purport, but I mean, I think that resonates very strongly with the point you're making. Thank you.
Mm. You have anything to add, Krishna Arjuna?
Many persons may come to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness later on in their life, where they may already have a family or a particular occupation, And in some sense, it seems a greater advantage to be able to think of simplicity when one's planning ahead and already going through training, being in an ashram situation, so compared to the person who's already immersed in family life, having to make readjustments and integrate the practices, the mindset that goes along with having that fusion of matter and spirit that you were just describing. So could one think that there may be a lot of upheaval in persons' lives where they're already in the throes of family life, not having had that prior preparation?
No doubt, yes. It's a disadvantage. It's not that it's an impossibility, because we see that devotees who came already married, I know people that got brothers and got sisters, tremendous devotees, and they have made you know quite very wonderful advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's not an impossibility, but it's a disadvantage. It's a big disadvantage. Therefore, one of the things that we discuss in the ashram is like, you have this window, you have to take full advantage of it. Or it's like the same thing. You go into the workforce, into the working, you know, competition in the material world. The ones who go through the education of university and or some sort of a training trait, they have a better opportunity to succeed than someone who have less training. So therefore, you know, they get better jobs, they get things like that, so you have more tools. So similarly, the more you get trained and educated to the proper life on an ashram, to how to carry an ashram, the more possibilities you have to, you know, succeed. So we see, you know, that there's a lot of obstacles that while going to, you know, our duties, especially in Grihastha ashram, there's a lot of things, you know, people have to go through. And then the children's, you know, if you don't have the proper, if the parents are not fully together, you know, in Krishna consciousness, the children, they go a little crazy and they're all out of control. They become this, I mean, I can't imagine living with some creatures like that. I mean, there's some children that are like, I don't, you know, it will be very hard to live, you know, 24/7 with kids like this, you know, yeah. And parents have to do that, you know, I mean, this is just, and they lovingly do that, but what a hardship. And, or kids that have to live with parents, sometimes you see like that. You know, these parents are crazy, the kids are great. You know, we you know, in New Jersey, I can immediately picture one, you know, that the parents were crazy, and this kid is a beautiful kid. And grew up to be up, you know, but they have to deal, now the kids have to deal with, you know, healing, even, you know, throughout their life, because the parents were nuts. So it's rough. It's not easy, you know, there's a struggle. The material world means pabharga. There's a struggle for existence. If you don't have the proper balance and the proper tools to be able to do things properly, and you know, this is a guideline, you know, it's as sort of like, wow, you know, so you didn't invite, you know, the uninvited guests, you know, inside, and make sure, you know, treat them nicely, you know, you just, you know, you didn't offer water, you know, so the Jehovah Witness come, bum, 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 you know, and you say, no, no, not interested. Ooh. You know, or something like that, you know. So it's there's some refined guidelines of culture that we're so unfamiliar with, that, you know, it's Kali Yuga. You know, the thing of doing these sacrifices, these yagyas that counteract, you know, the five different butcher places in your house. You know, what is sweeping? Sweeping. Well, sweeping, you suppose that you're destroying, killing creatures. You just, you know, okay, let me cook lunch today. You know, then you're butchering some bunch of creatures. So, I mean, it's so much. So how to properly live, do these things? Of course, in Kali Yuga, we've been given a very simple process that is very powerful. So the thing that you mentioned, you know, that Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, reading the scriptures, worshipping the deities and these things, and cultivating the qualities of the principle, those are just these basic qualities. So one should be able to counteract and overcome all these things. But yeah, it's a disadvantage. It's a disadvantage. Okay, thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.